Amir Lenachri, part three. What we mentioned in the last year is if a non-Jew does something for him or herself, that is not considered to be a problem. If a non-Jew does something for my benefit, only for my benefit, then we assume that that is going to be usur bahana. I'm not allowed to derive benefit from what it is that the non-Jew has done for me. And the basic prohibition is that you're not allowed to derive benefit on Shabbos itself. Once Shabbos is over, the Shulchan Aruch says, I have to wait. B'chdei she'yasu, I have to wait as long as it takes for somebody to have done this after Shabbos is over, which is a finite period of time. The question then becomes, there are some poskim who raise the issue, what happens if I have a non-Jew who comes to my simcha, comes to my bar mitzvah, and Shabbos morning the non-Jew stands up in the middle of shul and is so entranced by the fact that I am learning from the Torah, they go and they take a beautiful video of me or my child or whoever it may be, doing something in shul on Shabbos, and then after Shabbos is over, they send it to me. Now, why did they take that video? They took it for me or they took it for themselves? I would venture to say they're probably not going to share it with all of their family and friends because their family and friends really don't care. They happen to know me very well, and they took it for me to be able to have footage of my son's bar mitzvah. Would I be allowed to use that or not? And if you say you're not allowed to use it, what does it mean to wait b'chdei she'yasu? What does it mean to wait as long as it would take for the non-Jew to do that activity after Shabbos is over? If I would give an example of a non-Jew, let's say, drives a package from New York City out to Long Island on Shabbos, does a melacha for me, then we would say after Shabbos is over, maybe you should not derive benefit from that package until 45 minutes after Shabbos is over, because that's the amount of time it would have taken after Shabbos for them to drive the package to my house. That makes sense. But what about this case? What would b'chdei she'yasu be in this case? What would be that amount of time that I would have to wait in order for that video to be permissible? There are some poskim who say, never. It may never be permissible. Why not? Because it is impossible to ever get this video in a way without being mechal al Shabbos. Right? What is the reason why I have to wait after Shabbos until that 45 minutes? Because that basically gives me a window of time that I could have done this in a permissible way. If the non-Jew did something that would be impossible to do in any permissible way, that is a very different scenario. That is a very different story. And perhaps that would not be under the category of what we are discussing. Let's move a little bit further to a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. What if the non-Jew is doing something on behalf of a group, on behalf of a lot of people? Now you'll say, doesn't happen that often. Usually when we're observing Shabbos, we're together with our Jewish friends. We don't have Jews and non-Jews together in a big banquet hall. That's usually not what it is on Shabbos. So when is this actually relevant? We're going to see in a few minutes where Moshe Feinstein talks about what happens when the electricity goes out in our community and then the electric company comes and turns it back on. Are they doing it for me? Well, sort of. I happen to be a resident of this neighborhood, so they are doing it for me, but they're also doing it for the 5,000 other people that live in this community that also don't have power. So that's what we're going to have to see. So let's start from the Gemara, and then we'll get down to a practical example as we see it today. Says the Gemara, Ner Hadalak b'Mesiba, if you have a light, a candle, that is lit by a party, b'Mesiba. So says the Gemara, you have to look carefully. Imrov Yisrael, if Imrov Nachrim, if most of the people at this party are not Jewish, then Mutalish Tamish Liora. Then, of course, when the non-Jewish waiter walked in and turned the lights on or turned the music on, they are doing it because they want to benefit most of the non-Jews who are in the room. Now, it so happens that there's a small cluster of Jews in the corner somewhere that are also going to benefit. That's fine. But you have a right to assume that he probably did this on behalf of the majority of the people in the room who are certainly not Jewish at the time. However, im rov Yisrael, if you have a majority of people in the room who are Jewish, then you have to assume that the waiter who walked in and turned the lights on is only doing it because he wants to benefit the Jews. And therefore, that would not be permissible for me to derive benefit from. Mechza al mechza, which is also a very strange case, if I have exactly 50-50. So I have 100 people in the room, 50 of them are Jews, 50 are non-Jews, again, very unusual. Then in that case, says the Gemara, usur. Now, why is it prohibited? How come? If I have 100 people in the room, 75 of them are Jews, why are we not allowed to derive benefit from it? What is the reason? Because it's obvious that he's doing it for me. Now, says the Rush. The Rush is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. What if it's clear? We have 100 people in the room, but one of them is the President of the United States. So it's clear. The reason why the assistant to the President walked into the room and turned the lights on is not because Schefter's in the back of the room. He couldn't care less. it's because the president is walking into the front of the room, and that's why the lights were turned on. Says the Rush, of course, if there is a hochacha, if there is a clear indication, just based on the people who are in the room currently, or who are coming into the room, it is clear to us what it is, and why it is that this activity was done, then he says, of course, that would be a very different scenario. And in such a case, that would not be included in this prohibition that we are describing. Okay, let's see. We have a number of hands up. Now look at the Aruch HaShulchan, number Tesvav. Look at what he says. And he goes very, very strong words here, what he says about this. Mikol Mashen Isbar. Based on all that we just described, now what did we just describe? We spoke about if a non-Jew walks into a room and turns on the lights, that it's really for his own benefit, then we would say we are allowed to derive benefit from it as well. So much so, the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa that we mentioned last week writes, if a non-Jew walks into my living room and he turns on the lights for himself, I'm allowed to tell him on the way out, please don't turn the lights off. Because he derived benefit from the lights being on, I am allowed to then derive benefit as a side benefit from what he did, and I'm even allowed to instruct him not to turn them off. However, he says, Mikol Shen Mashen Isbar, based on everything that we have said until this point, Yesh Litzaveach Al Eza Meha Ashirim. Yesh Litzvach means we should scream at some of the wealthy people, Shemach Zikim Bebesam, Mishares O Mishareses, that they have a live-in in the house, Ve'enam Yehudim, and they have a non-Jewish worker in the house, Shema Amidim B'Shabbos, anybody knows what this word is? Can you see it? Anybody with me? Shema Amidim B'Shabbos HaSamavar. What's a samavar? You don't even know what it is. It's an English word. A teapot. Yeah. That they allow the live-in, non-Jewish live-in in their house to put out a tea kettle on Shabbos. B'ta'anasam ha'hevliyos, says the Aruch HaShulchan. And what rationale do people have to allow themselves to have the non-Jew do that for them? They have a taina ha'havliyos, which means they have a ridiculous claim. Sheha'eni Yehudi shosa gamkein. What do you mean? The non-Jew also wants coffee on Shabbos. So she's putting up the hot water for herself. Ve'ikar kavanaso la'atzmo. And really, the non-Jew is only putting up the hot water for him or herself. V'lo b'shvila Yisrael, they're not doing it for me. Zui chutzpah klapi shmaya, says the Aruch HaShulchan. This is so disrespectful to Shabbos and to the Ribono Shel Olam. Shabam lohono says Hashem. You're trying to bribe the Ribono Shel Olam, kaviyachol. Umi lo yodea sha'afilum kavanas ha'mishares o ha'mishareses la'atzman. Even if it is true that the non-Jewish worker in your home is going to ultimately make themselves a coffee, mikol makom, it is clear to anyone who is watching that ikur kavanasam l'shem b'nei beso shel ha'Yisrael. It is clear that really their intention is obviously for the Jew who is paying them. Kemo shehu b'chol yimei ha'shavua. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, they make a coffee for the owner of the house in the morning. Now on Shabbos, all of a sudden, oh, they're not making it for me, they're making it for themselves. I happen to be deriving benefit as a result of what they did. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, don't be ridiculous. Yeshem elamdim osam lomar hasheker. I love what he writes here. He says, there are some who train the housekeeper to say something that we know is not true. We train them to say, shekavanasam b'shvil atzmam, right? You're going to say to them, you're not doing this for me, are you? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, come on, we all know that that's ridiculous. And he says, Upshita, Shetzarech, Esef, Shekorin, Te, Yoser, Ve'isr, Gamar, Hu. He says, this is not permissible. Umechal, and Shabbos, Ve'gadol, Avonim, Ineso, Ve'yesh, Marbim, Hevel, Omer. And there are some who say, another claim. Anyway, he goes on and on to say that this is something that he is very uncomfortable with, and we have to be very careful. If we have people who are going to come into our house and who are going to be doing malacha, we have to make sure that it is something that is done in a proper fashion and in a way that the halacha would permit. So when the Shulchan Aruch says, quote in the Gemara, that if you have Rov Yisrael and it's clear that it's being done for them, that is usher, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you have to really look at every situation and see clearly what is really the motivation of the person doing the activity that they are currently engaged in. Is it really for themselves, or is it something that is clearly for me and they're just blaming it and pretending that it's for themselves? Now, how does this play into a very relevant example in our times? So you look here in the Igros Moshe, where Moshe talks about the electricity that goes out. So you have a municipality that has an obligation, they have a responsibility to provide electricity for the entire community. Now, what happens when it goes out on Shabbos? Every so often that does happen. Says Rav Moshe in the Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simen Samach Dalet, Lishtamish B'masha Osu HaNachrim B'Shabbos. Am I allowed to use the electricity that the non-Jews fixed on Shabbos? So my lights were on before Shabbos. Then the middle of the night, Friday night, there's a blackout. Then they come in the middle of the night and they change the wires and whatever it is, they fix it, and now everything goes back on. Am I allowed to use the light in my dining room as a result of what they've done? Says her Moshe. Mikivan shebechashmal mamish af benachrimu atim hayutzrichan the sakein kol mechonos hachashmal shabayir. Even if there were only two people in the town who didn't have electricity, they would have an obligation to come and fix it. So therefore, he says, as long as I have a few non-Jews in the neighborhood, that would certainly allow me to derive benefit as well from what the non-Jew did. Because it's clearly not being done for me. They would have had to do this whether I was here or not. They would have had to do it for the one or two neighbors of mine that don't have electricity, that are not Jewish. They would have had an obligation to fix it. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, that would be a classical case where we would say that this is permissible. Kol Shekein, certainly, Kishahanachrim Merubim, where we have many non-Jews. Rav Moshe lived on the Lower East Side, where there were apartment buildings, many Jews, many non-Jews. Kimo ba'arei medinaseinu ba'America. He says, in America, we have many Jews, many non-Jews living near each other. And therefore, if the electricity goes out, we have every right to assume that when it's being restored, it is being done not specifically for me, but it is being done on behalf of everybody. Now, the question then becomes, let's say, going into an elevator on Shabbos, or Rav Moshe lived on the Lower East Side, where they had elevators in many of the buildings. And in Manhattan, we know that this is something that is very common. So would I be allowed to enter an elevator? So to ask a non-Jew to press a button for me is certainly allowed or not allowed? Certainly not allowed. Why? Because I wouldn't be able to press the button, so I can't ask the non-Jew to press the button for me. What if you have a non-Jew who is going into the elevator on his own? He lives on the 7th floor, and now I just jump in with him. So what's the halacha then? I'm not asking him to do anything. Let's say I live 2 floors down. I'm going to go up 7 flights with him. Then I'll walk down the staircase for 2 flights, make myself have an easier time. Now, I didn't ask him to do anything. He didn't ask me where I live. He didn't press any buttons for me. He's doing it anyway. Says Rav Moshe, I would have said that it should be fine. What can possibly be the problem? That is not Amira Lenachri. I didn't ask him to do anything specifically for me. He didn't ask me. He didn't inquire where I need to go. I'm just hopping on the ride with him. Says Rav Moshe, Ubidvar li kanes, look in the next word, be elevator, be Shabbos v'yamtiv. Rav Moshe writes, am I allowed to go into an elevator on Shabbos or on yamtiv? Rav Moshe writes the following, kishenichnas adam rasha letzorech atzmo aser. What do you mean adam rasha? He says, when a Russia goes into the elevator, certainly you can't go with him. Who's he talking about? How am I supposed to know if someone's a Russia or not? And why can't I go with them? No, think. What's Rav Moshe referring to? Yeah. Why is a non-Jew a Russia? A Jewish person who knows about Shabbos and is not supposed to be doing this and goes in and says, yeah, I got this. Then, of course, he can't derive benefit. That's a Jew who's doing malacha for you. What? Oh, one second. So Rav Moshe says, he thinks that this, if you're going in with a Jew who's doing something wrong, that would certainly not be allowed. I remember that there was once a Jew when I was growing up, a Jew in our building who went to YU, and then many, many years later he went off the derech. He was not affiliated at all. And I remember he saw all of us waiting because we couldn't carry a key. At the time there was no Erev in the Heights, or whatever. Anyway, it's a long time ago. So he walks in and he says, oh, I got this. And he basically had carried his key wherever he was going. And he rings the bell, opens the door. And the question then became, well, now that he did it, would we be allowed to derive benefit from it? So that becomes very uncomfortable when you have an unaffiliated Jew who knows better, but who chooses to do it anyway and says, hey, I don't care about the Shabbos thing. I'll do it for you anyway. There, says Rav Moshe, certainly. What? Why should we stop him? He's going into the building. He needs to get into his house also, right? So the question is, once he's going into his house, can we derive benefit from the malacha that he did? So here, Rav Moshe says, if you have a Jew who is not keeping Shabbos the way he should and who presses the button of the elevator, then certainly you wouldn't be allowed to go. However, kishenichnas akum letzorech atzmo, when you have a non-Jew who is going into his own house, he's going up to the 7th floor. Now, I just want to jump on with him. Mutar medina, says Rav Moshe, there's no problem of Amir Lenachri when I didn't ask him to do anything and when he didn't ask me where I need to go. He goes into the elevator. He's a delivery man. Goes up to the 7th floor. I just go along with him. Aval, Rav Moshe says, he thinks it's not allowed, mishum maris ha'ayin. He thinks that there's another consideration here, that it shouldn't be allowed because of maris ha'ayin. V'im hu yaduya lo yari shamayim, v'kol shekenim hu tamad chacham, yesh bazeh gam mishum chilal Hashem. So Rav Moshe's feeling is that to get into an elevator, even if I didn't do anything to be involved in this process, Rav Moshe feels would not be allowed because that would be a chilal Hashem, that would be maris ayin. However, the Shmira Shabbos Gelchasa disagrees with Rav Moshe on this point. And he says, I forgot to put this on the bottom of the page. Ma'alit, asher hashareis hanachri maf'ila b'shvil hanachrim v'hayudim. If I have a doorman in the building who's going to be pressing the buttons for all the neighbors in the building, ha'olim v'hayordim ba. So he's pressing it anyway, not for me. He's pressing it for one of my neighbors, and he presses the seventh floor. Am I allowed to jump in? He says, the Shmir Shabbos Gelchasa Rav Neuvert writes, he thinks that it would be allowed, not like Rav Moshe. As long as he makes sure that he's not pressing a button only for me. I have to go in at the same floor that the non-Jew is going to be getting out on. If I go along with them, then there's no problem. Still, says Rav Neuvert, Bal Nefesh lo yishtamish b'ma'alit, afilu ba'ofen aniskar. He said, one should not get used to doing such things on Shabbos. He says he should only use it in rare and extenuating circumstances, but he thinks that he doesn't really see anything wrong with it because, after all, I'm not violating Amir al-Nahri when going into the elevator with somebody who is going in anyway for their own purposes. That is the way Rav Neuvert understands it. Again, he disagrees with Rav Moshe, which he's entitled to do, but it's two different opinions about this. Rav Moshe agrees in principle that there's nothing wrong with it. He just says maris ayin means, what does it look like when you have Jews going in and out of elevators on Shabbos? Everybody knows that a Jew observes Shabbos. What does that look like when you have a Jew who's observing Shabbos and yet going in and out of the elevators? Therefore, says Rav Moshe, he thinks it should not be done. But technically, he thinks there's no violation, there's no prohibition at all to do this on a Shabbos.